Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Avs hold on to 1-2 over the Anaheim Ducks in Anaheim. Rudo, Blaze, AJ, coming at you live. We've talked a lot about the Avs finding new ways to win a hockey game. The Avs get outshot pretty handily by the Ducks tonight, and they find a way to win one.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking a lot in the last few weeks about the Avs finding different ways to win different kinds of games and different styles and being comfortable being in the game that they're in and not necessarily the game they want. And this was kind of bizarro Avs for this year.
A little bit.
They get outshot. They never really have a rhythm. They take more penalties than they have. They have to kill more penalties than they get power plays. They get great goaltending and they win on the strength of defense and a PK.
Yep.
Yeah, thank goodness for that PK change that they decided to do halfway through the year, because that's definitely, you can tell that's making a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the even the last PK, they had possession inside the zone 2 full minutes and it didn't matter.
Yep.
It was just like, okay. Like, nothing really happened with it. And then you have another one of the PKs where the Avs get multiple scoring. You know, Kadri hits a post and LOC gets a partial breakaway. Like,
yeah.
This is a lot better. They're being a lot more competitive. The Royal Road is not wide open. They're not bleeding grade A chances.
Yep.
Right in front of the net, just leaving people wide open. And your goaltender is making the saves that he has to. You know, there wasn't a ton of spectacular saves from Frankie, but you know, when you're reading pucks well and you're in the right position, it turns out you don't have to be very special. You just have to do all the right things. And he did all the right things, didn't make any mistakes, tracked pucks well. And, you know, whatever break the Avs got on the Girard goal just never happened on the other side. And, you know, that's life sometimes.
That's life sometimes. Boy, can you find a better description of hockey than that? You know, and I think it's a fair point. If you're looking at the Avs game tonight offensively, I think you probably don't feel great about it. You're not saying, wow, look at all these grade A quality chances that they put on. Not that they didn't have a few, but this is a hockey team you're used to seeing shell opponents. Let's be real. And tonight, I don't want to say it felt lackadaisical, but it was lacking a little bit.
It felt disjointed.
Sure.
Or they were a little out of sync. You know, they never really settled into a nice rhythm on offense. But they had stretches of the game where they dominated the pace of play. You know, they created plenty of quality chances. But when they don't go in, you know, they just don't look the same, right? So I think that in terms of quality of chances, they were just fine tonight. They just didn't finish the way that we're accustomed to seeing them finish, where John Gibson played a good game.
Yep.
He was on top of it, and the Pavel Francouz and the Avs were just one save better.
Yep.
Like, it's not... This one wasn't anything particularly complicated. They were just one save better.
Yeah. There was a lot of transition in this game on both sides. Like, you know, there was a lot of puck going on in the middle of the ice.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's coming out of this game saying, wow, what a good hockey game this was.
Yeah, this was, I mean, the Ducks loved this, right? Yep. This was the Avs having to play a more, you know, kind of muck it up and grind it out, a little slower pace, not as much free transition.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of back and forth, but it was kind of like both teams were skating through mud a lot. Both teams really kind of mucked up the middle of the ice as it went on. Anaheim was really dedicated to stopping Colorado's transition, especially the way that they like to pull up halfway through and deal to their defensemen. The irony being that that's where the only real goal of the game got
came
scored.
From, yeah.
Was that they broke that they broke right. down in that transition once, and Gerard
walks
made
in
him pay.
And it goes in, yeah.
Yeah. I these are boring games to watch just from our perspective of, well, we have to sit through it, you know?
But
this isn't going to be the kind of game that you sell somebody on, oh my God, hockey is amazing. But this was definitely the kind of game where it's like, look, you wanted to see the Avs win a game like this. You want to see them hold a one goal lead in the third period.
Yep.
You want to see them play quality defense. I don't really think they got, it wasn't really a turtle. They didn't really get shelled in the third or anything.
Don't think so.
Yeah, obviously the officiating played a little bit of role in how the ice got tilted at times with the Ducks getting all the calls at the end. Just kind of a slower paced game. And
I mean,
really encouraging to see the Avs win again. Once again, like you're going down the checklist of all the different types of games that you can win.
This is another
goalie
one.
Steals one.
Yep.
About damn time.
Yep. It really does feel like the first one. And certainly, look, it's game 37 of the season. You know, we're not trying to get too hype on anything, but
yeah, it's still half a season to go.
A lot of championship runs are built on boring wins.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah, I mean, you don't win 50-plus games in a regular season because you go out there and you globetrotter them every night. You know, you win a lot of games. You just kind of have to grind your way through game nights where you don't have your A game.
Yeah.
And the Avs clearly didn't have the A game tonight. The Ducks played really well. You got to give them full credit. They played a good hockey game. They were good tonight. This was the version of the Ducks the Avs haven't really seen much of. You know, the Ducks have won plenty of games this year, and they've been pretty good. But they, against the Avs, have not really been very good. The Avs have not badly struggled with them.
It almost looked like the Avs just deferred and decided to play the Ducks game, right? Like what you were talking about.
Yeah.
A little bit slower, a little bit more muck. Like that's
play in the game that you're in.
Yeah, that's not the Avalanche's MO at all. But it's cool to see them like, okay, we're gonna play this game and we're gonna just do it better than you guys are gonna do it, right? Like we'll play a low scoring game and we'll get some saves from our goalie. We'll play some good defense and you know, hopefully we will get one better chance than you do.
Yeah, and really, like, you leave it up to a bounce or two here and there. You know, we were talking right before the Avs scored, we were talking about Anaheim is really just, they would get a puck out high to a defenseman or a forward who was out high, and they would just throw it immediately at the net.
Yep.
They're not trying to beat Frankie. They're trying to get some, they're trying to create some chaos in front.
Yeah.
They're trying to get a bounce. They're trying to get lucky there and just catch a break.
Yep.
You know, the same way that we saw the Wild the other day. They throw a puck, it hits two Avs players, and it lands on Kaprizov's stick is on Frankie's back door where you can't get to that.
Yeah.
And you're just like, sometimes that shit happens, you know? Like, pucks are unpredictable. It's not an unreasonable way to be when you're in a low-scoring, grinded-out type of game. And It just didn't bounce for them that way tonight. It didn't bounce that way for Colorado either.
Yeah.
There wasn't any kind of funny bounce on either side that really decided the game. I mean, I guess Like, Gerard's shot bounces off the ice.
Right.
Yep. But, like, that's a clean look that just gets by John Gibson.
Yeah, it's a high danger.
It's a chance. It's a tough, like, that's a tough stop to make because of the way that it bounces. But, you know, that's not a, well, let's just throw a puck here and just hope that something crazy happens and yahoo, you know, like, it just sort of just went Colorado's way. But also, this wasn't like a lopsided game or anything. This wasn't the Avs getting caved and the Ducks didn't get caved. It was just a lot of blah back and forth.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's a good way to put it. Let's get back to the first period here. Obviously, no goals scored in the first period, but you did have the fight between Curtis McDermott and Nick DeLaurier again. At least the fight was entertaining.
Well, and you know, we were talking about when it happened, it was like 7 minutes to go in the first period. The Avs have been kind of blah to that point. It was in the defensive zone. This wasn't one of those fights where you're like, oh man, this kills a scoring chance for you.
Yeah.
You know, like this took away a good moment for you. You were defending. You'd been kind of vanilla to that point, and your tough guy goes out and finds the other tough guy. All those two ever do when they see each other is fights. Fifth time that they fought in the NHL. Okay, neat. It was fine. Like, I didn't have any issues with it, and it was a good fight. It was entertaining. Yeah.
Yep.
The best part was when they come back from commercial, and each guy has a bag of ice on his hand. That's, and you're just like, all right, like, tough guy got tough guy.
Yeah, I mean, punching a helmet just does not feel good.
I'm sure you guys remember the first year they implemented that rule where both guys were just like, we both agree to take our helmets off and take the extra two.
Yeah.
And we'll have a real proper fight. But
you don't see that.
Now they got to start like taking each other's helmets off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it is always entertaining in a fight now when you see a guy punch the other guy's helmet and it pops off and you're like, oh,
and you see now, like, McDermott had to wave the refs off after his helmet came off.
Oh, yeah, you see him. He was handing the hand up. He was holding them back. Yeah. Like, we're not done here. the Rob Ray, he's not finished. Yeah.
So a little bit odd there, but, you know, if that's what McDermott's here to do, he had a good fight tonight. Yep. 100% credit to him there. I know a lot of people, I've seen it in the chat, talking about, as it stands, the Avs are essentially playing 5D. McDermott played, what, like 8 minutes tonight? I didn't see the final total, but
he was out there with 7 minutes to play in the third period next to Jack Johnson, and we were all just like,
oh, boy, hold on. Here we go.
All right, this is a decision that they have actively made.
I wonder how long that shift was.
Oh, gee, it wasn't. McDermott played 5:24. Like 25
seconds, man. It was not long at all.
He barely played over 5 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
So it is essentially running 5D for the Avs, basically. Is what it is. As far as why they have McDermott in the lineup, he fulfilled that duty tonight. So,
yeah, if he's going to be in the lineup, do what you do.
Look, a guy you play 5 minutes a night, trading him for anyone is a good trade, right? Like, you'll take it. Anyway, yeah, neither team scores a goal in the first. This was, I don't know. Let me ask you guys, who do you think was the Avs' best forward tonight?
Kadri.
Okay.
I'll go with the LOC. I liked LOC's game tonight.
Okay. Both of which generated some decent chances. LOC had a couple of PK opportunities, and, you know, he's LOC. You kind of know what you're going to get from him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm looking at it from, like, what is your potential? What can you actually do when you're out there, right? And I felt like that's what LOC does. Like, we nitpick some of the stuff, like, drop shoulder, go to the net. Like, but, you know.
Score into the open net when there's not a goal.
Yeah. But you live with that, knowing, like, the defensive side of what he can do for your team. And I thought he played a really solid game that way.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I thought that the Avs protected their own zone pretty well. Like, they got outshot, but it's really more that they got, that the Ducks just blocked a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And the Avs don't really block a ton of shots. And, like, you let a goalie see the puck, and when he's tracking it as well as Frankie was tonight,
that's fine. Yeah.
You just trust your goalie to do his job at that point. And that's kind of where the Avs were. And because you're not looking at a lot of those, like, you, how many highlight reel saves did Frankie make tonight?
Maybe one or two.
Like, maybe?
Yeah.
Like,
he had the nice one off the toe that I can remember.
Right, like, there's, like, a nice kick save on Getzlaffer, too, where you're like, okay, but it's not, like, a crazy high-danger chance, right? Like, Ryan Getzlaff from 20 feet out on a one-timer where he's not going post-to-post.
Yeah.
You know, he just has to get out and challenge him a little bit.
Yep.
Like, you're comfortable trusting your guy there. But I really thought that the Avs played a pretty solid and committed game in their own zone. The Ducks did a good job owning possession and winning board battles and you know, winning pucks, but they weren't, there was like this little invisible fortress in front of the home plate area.
Yeah. Nothing felt free tonight.
Yeah, and it really didn't seem like the Ducks were getting inside of that too much. So when you ask who was their best forward, I think my instinct was that I liked Kadri because consistently dangerous on offense, but did a good job in his own zone as well.
Yeah. Only player with a 2-point night for Colorado. Granted, you know, one of those is on an empty netter, but he gets an assist on the Girard goal.
Yep.
Had 5 shots on goal on the night. Was, for him, surprisingly not great in the faceoff dot, only 47%.
I don't think any Av was good in the faceoff dot.
It was not a great night in the faceoff circle, for sure. But as we've seen, and something I do want to talk about, with the Avs only running essentially 5D, and with the new defensive systems implemented, we're seeing just about everybody get a crack on the PK. Kadri played over 2 minutes on the penalty kill tonight. Mm-hmm. On a night where the Avs PK got the job done. Logan O'Connor led the way there, but you also got significant time from Tyson Jost, from JT Compher. You even saw Alex Newhook play 45 seconds of penalty kill time tonight. So
does some of that have to do with, like, they went back to a more simplistic PK, right? So you can have more people inserted in there because you're not trying to do crazy things with your PK. Well,
some of it is also no Nuke and no Helm, who are two guys that you have as guys that you would pick out. So it's like, who's like the fourth or fifth forward there? Kadri is a guy that you like, is one, maybe the only guy in your team that you like at this point to win you a face-off. He makes perfect sense as that fourth guy. Newhook also makes sense there because we saw Newhook at BC.
When he hounds pucks.
Yeah. His entire BC career, he played on the PK there.
Yep.
So he was a PK regular there. He scored a bunch of shorthand points. And But no, he was a good PKer at BC, and that's where I think his evolution as an all-around player really started. Was they kind of forced him and said, "Hey, we need you to take the defensive side of your game a little more seriously," because in Victoria, when he played in the BCHL, he was a big time, like,
kick it into cruise control.
He was. I always compare him to like when you play Rocket League and you're that guy that kind of just, you watch the ball and you just sort of aimlessly drive around and sort of follow it. He kind of did a lot of that, and there wasn't a lot of concern for positioning.
Yeah.
And then you see him now in the NHL. He's already taken such major strides defensively. That's been the biggest surprise for me with Newhook this year.
It's just the effort level is there all the time.
Yeah, and there's a commitment to the details of it where you know, he's understanding that the more he does this, the more ice that he sees, the more puck touches he'll get for him to do the things that he does at his absolute best.
Yeah, we're in Studio B tonight, chat, so we're like walled off from the bar, so you can't you can't hear any of that stuff.
Yeah, literally the Nuggets are live in the other studio right now doing their thing. So
it's the two for shows tonight, so we get the quiet set for once.
Tomorrow we'll be on the loud set.
Yeah, true.
Hopefully it's still loud.
I hope so. Should be a fun night, hopefully.
Yeah.
We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. got myself a Strawberry Sky right here tonight. But
Randy, more than one.
Go get yourself some. You can find it, obviously, here at the DNVR bar, or go to your local liquor store. Use their online Breck Beer locator to find it at a beer store near you. Beer stores, are those
beer stores? Yeah. Liquor stores, whatever,
same thing. Yeah. Same thing.
The beer market,
there you go. Now you got World of Beer. All right, Also brought to you all by Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia have been in the business here in Colorado for a very long time. Been talking to them actually because, you know, my wife and I are about to start looking for a house ourselves. They will also help you find a house in Wyoming. They're helping some people in Arizona. They're even helping people in Florida. So even if you're not necessarily in Colorado, you can hit them up. Maybe get a little bit of help. Mike is a certified financial planner, so they will find the right home loan for you, not just, you know, to buy your house, but make sure everything is all good when it fits in your financial picture. So head on over to dnvrmortgage.com to hit them up. You can get a free consultation as well as an opportunity to win a free DNVR hat or shirt. So you might as well just jump on over there at least for that opportunity. Again, this is dnvrmortgage.com, or you can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. P.S. Shout out to our Nuggets coverage as well. Obviously, stay here, watch this show. But word on the street is Nikola Jokic kind of went off tonight.
Yeah.
So
another triple-double, I think, finished with 46 points.
49,
more than 46.
49.9.
And then has the assist on the
game winner. Yeah. So it's pretty good. So night.
You can get help in Florida, huh? We were just talking about you guys want me to move to Florida. So
there you go.
I need a house in Florida.
Live Florida man on the show.
That's right.
Here, right now.
I mean, you're whining about how cold it is.
It's cold in the studio.
Oh my God.
It's cold.
It's cold enough.
I play hockey. I don't like being cold.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got a good number of super chats, so we can hit those up real quick here to start the second period. Well, that's like a lot of super chats.
Wow.
Okay. Chris with $5 says, two shutties in three games. Could the D intending finally be turning the corner?
Yeah, I tell you what, the defense really hasn't been a problem, but how much better do you feel about it when your goalies make saves?
It's true. There's still that issue. There's sometimes where there's just guys hanging out in the slot with no defense around them. And that's just the way that the Avs defense was working. Like, well, that's the structure that they're using.
Welcome to the NHL, where the other team has NHL players that create chances sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, that's every team wants chances in the slot.
Yep.
That's
what they're trying to
all
do.
All of the analytics have built towards shoot from here. And that's where they're all going for, right? Like, it's all...
You say that, but I watched the Avs pass it out of the slot five times a night.
Yeah, the Avs have we're super cute-itis. So.
You know, USA Hockey now is like their whole new thing is teaching kids not to go straight to the slot, but to go basically like adjacent, 7 to 8 feet wide of the slot, because your chances of scoring from those spots are still really high. And you don't have to deal with all that traffic.
You're
in
not
front.
Hard covered.
Yeah. So if the puck is down low on the side, they don't want you to sit in the slot. They want you to kind of move over closer to where the defense or
fan
the
it
forward
out
is
a little
playing.
Bit. Yeah. Yeah. Good math. I got no argument against that.
Yep.
Josh with $5. I fucking love this team. They beat two teams tonight in one of their worst games of the season. This is a great game to prepare for the playoffs. I don't think it was one of their worst games of the season. One of their least entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was quality hockey for the most part.
Yeah, it was just the Ducks. The Ducks also played solid hockey, and they just kind of, I don't know. Tonight was kind of that game where it was like two kids hitting each other with pool noodles. Yeah. nobody's really getting hurt. Nothing's really dangerous, but it's making a lot of noise.
Well, and especially like if this was your first, like you were saying, you know, like if this is your first game in and you've heard all these things about the Avs just going to town on teams, right? Like, oh, they score four goals plus a game, and then you come in and watch this, you're like, this sucks.
Yeah, what is this? Yeah.
99 cents from Spence. Thank you very much. Five more from Josh. I didn't have room to shout out Frankie in my last super chat, so this one's for your Pavel. We'll get to him in a bit.
Hell yeah.
$5 from Henry. This season, I cannot tell if the Avs are an offensive juggernaut that plays poorly in these close games or a team that refuses to lose. Certainly in the new year, they seem to refuse to lose.
Yeah.
I don't
feel like they've played poorly
at all.
Yeah, like the Chicago game.
The Nashville game, that's they're obviously heavily compromised in.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't feel... I don't feel like we've seen them really play. Like, they've had stretches in games where they haven't played well. But they're usually in a situation where they've been up by a couple of goals. And
yeah.
You know, and you're kind of like, you don't love that.
Outside of the first 10 games of the season, it's hard to really find a significant stretch of poor play.
And it's like, the other thing is, like, we're talking about, the team is like iffy when they're when they have a 2-goal lead or whatever. And it's like, is this the most first world problem of the NHL? Yeah. Where it's like, we're talking about a team that has a 2-goal lead every night and they're like, how do they play with it? You know, versus... There are teams out there, you know what?
They're down Arizona to 10 minutes into every games game.
That didn't have a 2-goal lead. Yeah. So, you know, like you're talking about perspective here.
For sure.
You know, that we have to talk about the areas where they've struggled, but in reality, those areas are pretty limited.
Yep.
Yeah. When you're whatever their record is now, 26-8-3 or
it's,
whatever.
It's pretty good. Like, it's pretty good.
You're just talking about a team that's just, it's just nasty.
All right. Next. $7 Canadian from Kerry. So happy for Frankie tonight. He played freaking awesome tonight. Glad Kemper isn't hurt. Good luck there. And there love is. The boys on DNVR. Thank you very much, Kerry. Yeah, well, again, we'll talk about Frankie in a little bit, so we'll get there. Blake with $5. Someone has to stop Mikko from getting so angry. He starts trying to... I think Miko's anger was justified tonight.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with this one, and it wasn't like the anger compounded into stupid mistakes.
Right.
Because that's where you've really gotten frustrated, where he's taking dumb penalties, or he's just done something really dumb. Tonight... He kind of got the raw end of the deal there from the officials.
Yep.
The first one, obviously, McKinnon has almost an identical interaction
that goes uncalled
just seconds before, and there was no problem with it. And happens on the other side, and Mikko goes to the box. Like, he thinks that they set a standard on one end, they go to the other end, and then we get the glory of Darren Pang twisting himself into a pretzel.
to try
and jerk off the officials and their decision-making on that. So that was always fun. Also, what are you doing watching our show, man? Should you be helping the Jets?
$0.99 from Spence.
A coin with a star.
I can't even think about trying to do that right now.
Yeah, with my your voice
yeah,
right
my
now?
Voice would just end.
You can just naturally do it right now. You don't even have to do anything.
A coin with a star.
See? Beautiful. Perfect. Beautiful. $5 from William. When do we start
there
talking
it is.
About Frankie there being the number one for this team?
I wish I could have put this... I wish DraftKings had this bet that we would get this question.
We'll talk about Frankie.
Yeah, we'll get to Frankie.
I don't think anyone's betting on being the number one, though. Gonna give you some spoilers.
I think that there's probably one or two people out there who are like, see.
$2 from Pete. Best PK has looked all season. Huge.
Totally.
Yep. They were rock solid tonight. Abs didn't win this game with offense. They won it 2-0. Really 1-0 with an empty netter. So every defensive play gets big ups there. Vaguely $2 says chat, nobody got injured tonight.
So far.
Fingers crossed. He also asked how the burrito is.
Yeah, no, we got one.
Let's talk about, like, I don't know. Have you guys heard about this burrito at the DNVR bar? Has anyone told you about it yet? Because my goodness, you get it with carnitas. Mwah.
You heard it here first, folks. The Carnitas Burrito, sponsored by Blaze.
I mean, you can do the burrito, and then after you're done with the burrito, maybe in the second intermission, you get the nachos with the carnitas on it.
All I'm saying
is the carnitas are good.
All I'm going to say is my roommate-to-be was here. He got that burrito with the carnitas, and you know what? He ate the whole thing and didn't say anything about it. So clearly,
ooh,
it was fine.
He didn't say anything about it. He should have been talking about it afterwards.
I mean, he was probably just basking in all of its glory.
Says the guy who ate the wings tonight.
That's true.
I also ate wings.
It was a late night. I had to eat dinner before I got here.
The Blaze Burrito confirmed.
Blaze Rito.
All right. So let's get into the rest of the skaters. This
sounds
tonight.
Like a Taco Bell special, the Blazerito.
The Blazerito.
Where they have the flame, like they're the really blazing hot Doritos.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's the Blazerito, and they wrap it in the blazing hot Dorito shell.
You mean it's not my signature burrito?
No.
No?
Had nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Denied. One late one here from Blaze. I would help if I could, but first I need to switch to playing forward and skating 20 miles per hour. I think Scotty Einzer could help me out.
Okay.
Neat.
The Jets don't need the help.
To be fair, this version of Blake Wheeler is a senior in high school, so.
Yeah.
Got some aging to do a little bit. Anyway, let's take a look at the defense before we talk about the goaltending. Who gets it tonight for the defense? Is it Sam Girard scoring the goal? Is he just your guy? Or what else did you like tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's G.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought he was great. I thought Devon Toews was awesome defensively. I really, really liked him in his own zone. I didn't like him so much in the neutral zone or with the puck as much as I normally do. But I thought he was really good defensively.
I mean, you got a point.
He shut off some of those rushes where he just
he
closed it up, done.
I think as a core they played very well.
Devontae's TOI tonight. Any guesses?
26 minutes.
All situations.
All sitch.
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna guess 28.
He's a fucking wizard, chat. He's a fucking wizard. 28.50.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
For Devon Toews.
Yeah. That's a lot of ice.
Yeah. He was munching minutes tonight, yeah. For real, for this hockey team. You go down the list. Makar had essentially 25. EJ played 22. Girard 21. EJ 14. And then, EJ 22 as well. JJ 14. And then McDermott 6, basically.
Makar was a little off tonight. Edge work
didn't look nearly as, and this is another
stick
one
handling
where Makar makes his bones as an offensive wizard.
Yeah,
but when he's not on the top of that part of his game, you still watch him defensively, and he was solid. Yeah. Wasn't elite. Wasn't like holy shit, right? But like took care of business.
Yep.
And it's why you don't classify him as a Quinn Hughes type. You know, as Tyson Berry, as an offensive defenseman. Right. He gets the job done in his own zone every night.
Yeah,
it's just what he's able to do offensively is what makes him so special.
Yep, for sure.
Who was the better Johnson tonight?
Oh, Eric.
Eric had multiple quality defensive.
Yeah, I liked Eric quite a bit more, especially on the PK. I liked Eric a lot more. Jack, I just don't. Jack just doesn't have any puck skills, and he's just not. He doesn't. He's not trying to force it.
He worked a guy on the breakout tonight.
He did work a guy.
He worked a guy.
He did juke some fool guy. There was a little shimmy there, and that guy was like, wait, what?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Every now and then, he just does it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, look, Devontae's path to the NHL is an incredibly interesting conversation for a different podcast where AJ can just talk about it for 3 hours. But.
Well, and the biggest thing that you talk about with Devontae is it's not great size, and you watch him play. What tool does he have that's elite? And it's the hardest thing to separate when you're a junior or you're an NCAA player.
I just couldn't believe that the Islanders gave him up. Like, when I heard he was coming, and you go back and watch those games, you're like...
Well, so keep in mind, there's two things here. One, they were in a bad cap crunch.
Yep.
They didn't know Johnny Boychuk would never play again. And they were coming off of a playoff series against Tampa Bay where Nick Leddy had been really, really good. And Devon Toews was a fucking disaster. Yeah. He was so bad in that series. And I think that recency bias stuck with them, made it a little easier for them to say, okay, well, you know, we're gonna move on from this guy because we can't afford to pay him, and you know, and then the Boychuk stuff happened, and then they kept Leddy, and Letty's play dropped back to the level it had been.
Yeah,
and the Avs were just like Yahtzee. And then my true legacy, all the things that I've talked about over the years and all the stuff that I've said, Devon Taves will be my legacy.
This game was on national tonight, which, you know, the game started at 8:30. So we appreciate all y'all hanging out with us in the middle of the night at this point.
Yo, one of those people, Me Gerbs.
Yeah, shout out our girl Me Gerbs.
Hanging out. Me Gerbs is one of our homies on the pod and had successful surgery today to remove a brain tumor. So she messaged me, and then Sam Girard scored like 4 minutes later. So if you want to know why the Avs were successful tonight, it's her.
Go send some good vibes to Me Gerbs for real. Get on that. On the Avs side of things, all right, let's start with this conversation. Does this game being a boring ass hockey game affect the national perception of Colorado at all? One,
it should.
And two, do you care?
No.
Okay.
National perception of anything is completely irrelevant because it's impossible to be a well-informed national person because you just can't watch 32 teams. You just can't. You have to pick a hand. You can pick a handful and you could be well versed in 6 to 8 of them, but you just can't. There isn't a human being on earth that can be.
Can't go full mega mind.
Yeah. You just can't do it. You cannot do it. You watch like the guy on the hockey guy on YouTube.
Yep.
Kind of keeps an eye on everything.
Great channel for precursory overview glances.
Totally. Like gives you a great rundown of things that happen. As soon as you ask him to get more in depth on things,
it falls apart real quick.
And that's not a criticism. It's not possible. Yep.
If you want in depth looks, he'll give you a great look at Vancouver. There's a couple of other teams that he knows in depth, but if you're asking him for an in depth look at Colorado, it's just not there.
Right. And it's like, look, dude, you can't have that. You can't have that. So yeah, so you guys all think that he's great, but and he's got an awesome channel.
Yep.
But if you want him to really drill down into certain things, you'll just see it's just not possible. Again, it's not a criticism. He's human.
Yep. Exactly right. So it's interesting. You know, obviously I think a lot of the conversation people are going to have tonight are going to go, oh, Adam Fox scored 2 goals tonight on national TV. And then,
great. That's great for Adam Fox. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Honestly, I was over this during the rookie year with Quinn Hughes. Yeah. I'm over it now. You know that you can exist. You can exist with other people in the same universe. Cale Makar can be special and Adam Fox can also be special.
Yep.
They're both going to be two of the faces of this wave of defensemen that looks to be awesome.
Yep.
You know, Quinn Hughes is among them. Rasmus Dahlin might be among them. Miro Heiskanen would be getting way more love if he wasn't sitting there playing in that hellhole in Dallas. Under a head coach that's not good at his job.
Yeah.
So, you ask about national perception. It can definitely change it a little bit. What it should change is that the Avs can't win tough games. Like that's the perception that should get chipped away at, because that's the criticism that we always hear.
Yep.
Oh, the Avs are great when they're out in open ice and they're in transition and they're scoring lots of goals, but can they win 2-1?
They just grinded one out against Anaheim.
Can they win 1-0? Can they do this? Can they do that? Here's a goal post. Let me move it some more. Can they do this? And they just keep doing it. Like They've come back from deficits. They've come back from deficits early. They've come back from deficits late. They've come back from multi-goal deficits. They've gotten ahead of teams and closed them out. They've gotten ahead of teams and blown them out. They win. They've won games in every single facet. The only one that you would really, really had not seen this year was the goalie is the star of the show.
And you got it.
Which is why we got Frankie it right here as our king of the game tonight.
Yep.
Like, he's the king of the game because he shut it down.
Yep. We'll get to that super chat in just a second, I promise. We'll hit king of the game first. Frankie. It's not just a shutout, it's a 34 save shutout.
Yeah. Right. This is different than Darcy Kemper with a 4-0 lead,
yeah,
faces 20 shots, and just doesn't make a mistake.
Yep.
Like, and that's not to take... Darcy Kuemper did everything that you could possibly ask for him in that game. Did his job. Frankie's job was harder tonight.
And it was one of those things, too, right? It comes down to the end there. It wasn't a 2-0 game. Yeah, they got the empty net. Like,
yeah, it was a 1-0 game until, a minute and a half, yeah, 2 minutes to go.
That's a big game. And, from the whole, national broadcasting, I think for casual fans, yeah, it kind of, turns people off, right? Because it's just a low-scoring game, and people don't really respect that anymore. They want to see, lots of action, lots of goals, which the Avs usually do. And tomorrow night, they get another crack at a national broadcast, and maybe that's what you'll see. And then you'll be like, if you keep watching this, you're like, wow, they can win in different ways.
Yep.
Well, and this who knows what's going to happen.
It was tomorrow. The number one difference. Everybody wants to talk about Tampa Bay. Obviously, when you win two in a row,
yep,
there's lots to talk about there. But the biggest difference in Tampa Bay that they always talked about was we found ways to win in games in which we were not playing our best.
Yep. Yep.
That they weren't on their A game and they were playing a different style. They're an easy comparison because you have a head coach who's a long tenured head coach who people had started to get ready to run out of town if they didn't experience whatever level of success was deemed necessary. And it was an offensively oriented team with one or two great players on defense. How do they get to that next level? The big difference, obviously, for me is Vasilevsky is not in Colorado. The Avs don't have the answer to that question.
Two directions I want to go with this. First, let's talk about the immediate future. Frankie gets the shutout.
Yeah.
Unwritten rule is you give the starter another game.
Yeah, on a back-to-back.
Yeah, on a back-to-back. Look, again, I maintain if Kuemper feels good, you play him tomorrow. But okay, the performance from Frankie tonight makes you feel like you really don't have a problem playing him tomorrow, yeah, if you have to.
Okay. Number two, let's address the question. It's a great game from Frankie.
It's a great game.
Frankie
great
game. Has looked quality in the starts that he's gotten since coming back from being healthy. What would it take for Frankie to genuinely get into the conversation of being the Avs number one?
Two more weeks of this.
Okay.
Because the Avs, look, the Avs are going to shift into a conversation where they need to start to answer this question sooner than later. You don't want open competition with 25 games to go and you're competing for the division title or whatever. You want to start answering that question. You want to have your guy. And then you know that you're going to be comfortable with either guy, right? But the with Frankie, it's just like he still has such a limited NHL track record that you're just looking at it and you're like, well, you're always kind of afraid of the bottom falling out of it, right? Especially with an unconventional past and his pathway to where he
for
is.
Sure.
And, not that Bednar cares about any of that, but all of those things provide subconscious biases. If a guy, Jack Campbell, was a first-round pick once upon a time, keeps getting opportunities because he was a first-round pick once upon a time, teams want to take chances on guys with pedigree because there was that potential once, so they keep giving that guy a chance. Frankie's not going to get a benefit of the doubt like that. He's going to get a put up or shut up.
Yeah.
And we've seen with him in the past, he's had opportunities, like when Grubauer was really struggling, he had opportunities to really cement that status as the man and do it.
Yeah.
Right now, this is the first great game that he's played this year. Outside of the shootouts elevating him,
yep,
he's been solid.
Yeah.
Like not trying to say that he hasn't been any good or anything like that. It hasn't been that kind of a conversation. Kemper's just sort of left the door open because he's just been all right. But even after, I'm curious where Frankie's numbers are tonight because they were pretty similar to Kemper's before the game. I'll be curious what Frankie's are now after. And obviously small samples. Him six games played. This is going to have a way big impact. He's going to go from like a 9.02 to a 9.10 or whatever. But from Frankie, it's just like, look, if he just keeps playing like this, because they're kind of in that situation where they were with Varley and Grubauer a few years ago, where Varley was sort of the guy by default, but he wasn't playing great. Neither was Grubauer. There wasn't really a clear answer. And then at one point, Grubauer just took the job.
Yeah. Yep.
And it started with a shutout on the road. So there's your pathway.
Yeah. Yep. I think the other thing you'd like to see is just the competition. Like a high-powered offense comes in, plays against the Avs, see what he can do. I mean, obviously in the past he's done it. But like you said, the other thing that you want to see is just can he hold on to it as well, right? Like
yeah.
Your backup goaltender, you want him to come in and steal games and yeah. be good. Usually the problem is the consistency isn't there versus like a starting goalie.
Well, and you also give him... Because he's your backup, you play him in certain games. You yeah. give him weaker competition yep. yeah. purposely.
Yeah.
Like he gets Arizona games. You know, he gets certain games against opponents that are not as good. Now tonight, like it's a good Ducks team.
Yeah.
So there's no getting around it.
No, but they're missing people.
He had right? he had a great game against a good team, and he shuts yeah. them out on the road. Like yep. there's no picking this one apart.
No.
There's no Troy Terry.
Yeah.
Sure. But the rest of that lineup's pretty much there. And yeah. I think that I mean the rest of like the I mean there's no Sonny Milano, like
yeah.
there's some guys that they're missing that, yeah. that matter. But that's I mean you that's not his fault, right?
No,
and he yeah. does his job, he does yeah. he has a great night. So I just think like it's a great game. He's got to do it. I mean, if
one game is one game.
For you to take the starting job on a cup contending team
right.
from a guy that they went out and spent a lot of resources on and really believe can do the job. Like,
yep.
I'm telling you, they really believe he can do the job.
Yep.
It's going to take a lot more than this. Like, he needs to have an awesome
yeah.
end of January, February.
Yeah. And go back earlier. Well, I guess last week, there's the first Phoenix game. It was a close game.
Yeah.
Frankie was in net. I mean, what was there, 4 goals allowed in that game?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think it was 4-3 finals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't great.
Yeah. Yep.
It wasn't that long ago where you were just kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
All right. We are brought to you all by Strava Craft Coffee. You can get your CBD-infused coffee for 25% off and use code DNVR25 on your first purchase. Be sure to go check them out. It's not just coffee, which you can get in normal coffee beans or K-cups, whatever you prefer. It's also the CBD, which helps with migraines, aches and pains like joint pain, IBS, and other things as well. So be sure to check them out. If you love them, you can, first of all, get down at the DNVR bar, cold brew. You can just come here. You don't have to order it from online or anything. And when you like it, if you get their subscription service, you get 20% off every single time you get some. So jump on that. Go check out Strava Craft Coffee. And then hit up DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Any divisional round NFL game, when you sign up with code DNVR with a new account, and you bet $5, you can win $280 to get yourself going on DraftKings Sportsbook. $280 worth of free bets if you pick a divisional round NFL team to win correctly. So jump on that, get the $280, and then bet it all on Cale Makar to win the Norris, and you'll win a lot of money.
That's what I've been doing.
It's that simple. It's that simple sometimes. Or you can bet on whatever you want. You can bet on Jokic to get a triple-double every night. You can bet on whatever Avs thing you want. You can bet on Russian old man table tennis if you want to. It doesn't you, the Olympics are coming up. I'm going to be placing a ton of bets on stuff in the Olympics. I won't know what the hell I'm doing, but it'll be great. It's going to be amazing. I'm super looking forward to it. So jump on it. Use the code DNVR when you sign up for a new account at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. Must be, I already said that. DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. There we go. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. P.S. The like 400 of you crazy enough to stay up this late. To hang out with us, be sure to like and subscribe on the channel. Like, if you're this dedicated, you might want to know when we go live and things like that. All right, I did want to get back to that super chat that we had a minute ago from Robert. Gretz was talking about Makar with Mac and mentioned coffee. Game recognizes game. So this was an interesting conversation. We actually talked a little bit about this before and during the game. I think AJ's take the other week ago kind of sums up Cale Makar, so I'll let you take this one.
Which one? I say a lot comparable. Of things about Cale
McCarr. There are no.
Oh, yeah. Look, I wrote it in my piece after the Chicago thing. Like, stop comparing Cale McCarr to people. Cale McCarr has become his own comparable. He's now the guy that when guys get drafted, they say, oh, who's your favorite player to watch? It's Cale McCarr.
Yep.
Like, rest in peace, Erik Karlsson, being the answer to that question. It's Cale, for the next 10 years, it's Cale McCarr.
Yep.
The one that, and why I say that he's going to win Norris trophies and why I've said that he has the sex appeal is that his game is all spicy.
Yep.
He's got big hits, crazy highlight reel goals.
Yep.
It's all spicy, right? Like Adam Fox is a great player, but he's an unbelievably smart player.
Yeah.
And like this other, like the Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr and whatever. It's all Cale McCarr's his own name on that list now.
Yeah. If you were ordering a burrito, Adam Fox would be the mayonnaise. Delicious. Required for a good burrito.
Mayonnaise?
You don't like mayonnaise? Or I guess sour cream, whatever. Doesn't matter. Not the point. ignore Adam Fox. What? My point I'm trying to make is Cale McCarr would be the carnitas.
Okay. Now I can get with it. The mayo threw me though.
Look.
You know the mustard that you put on the burrito? Right.
You've never had a burrito with mayo, mustard?
No.
Throw a little hot dog in there. All right. Look. We know I have bad food takes, chat. This is par for the course, all right? Just get used to it. Just get used to it at this point, all right?
I think we should make you a burrito with mayo and mustard and everything.
If you put a hot dog in it, I'm here for it. AJ can't even take this.
AJ's broken.
Anyway, Cale McCarr's carnitas. That's the point I'm trying to make. Look, I'm here for that. I'm here for that being the quote that comes out of it. Adam Fox is the mayonnaise on a burrito. Also true. Also factually correct.
We need a visual for that one right there.
All right, hold on, though. Ketchup on nothing. Ketchup's overrated. Don't need no ketchup.
Isn't that like the green chili? This is ketchup?
Okay. All right. Getting back on topic here a little bit. Avs take care of business. They get the 1-0 lead off of the Girard goal, and then they kind of just hold serve for the rest of the night. AJ's really struggling with this one. They end up getting the empty netter off of Kadri's stick. But what? How important do you think someone like Jared Bednar thinks empty net situations are? Because it's just not something that you practice that much as a hockey team.
What do you mean?
The Habs have spent 2 years practicing it in games.
Yeah, in games, but in practice.
They've been crushing it, man.
It's pretty important. I mean, obviously, when you convert it, it's great. Everyone loves that. When you don't convert it, that is a huge issue. What's going on here?
I don't know. Y'all here sending me signals. I'll be right back. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
He's going to throw up.
He's like, Bruto, you got a small penis. This is what he was saying to me.
No, I mean, things can change quickly, right, if you don't score on those empty nets. I mean, the other team's got an extra player on the ice. A lot of times when you miss empty nets, you know, things can go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, it's Patrick Steffen's whole legacy.
Yep.
Oof. Yeah, Mac was about 8 feet offside on what should have been
a
free goal.
Yeah, that was so stupid. Like, that was just, what are you doing, territory?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If they come back and tie this, like, you're not allowed to yell at anybody in the locker room. You're not allowed to be mad at anybody. You have to actually just take ownership and be like, oh my God, what was I doing?
Yeah, the Blazerito has carnitas. The Rudorito has mayonnaise. I think you know which one you're going to order. in any case, Nas with the two-point night. Again, I just want to shout him out. He's going to the All-Star game. Well-deserved. He's the type of player in a contract year that it doesn't seem like anything's going to slow him down.
No.
Now,
it's really just him.
Is he a 120-point player?
I mean, we keep putting doubt on it, but
he hasn't stopped yet.
We're 37 games into the Avalanche season, so we still have half the year to go, obviously. But none of us would have said that him doing this across half of a season was likely.
At the beginning of the year, he was like, I'm not going to get that bag. I'm going to get the bank.
Yeah, right?
And that's what he's doing.
Like, straight up.
Yeah.
Want a little bit extra.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like mayo on a burrito.
Delicious. For real, though. Mayo tastes good on a burrito. Like, I'm not lying. Not what I was trying to say, but I like
mayo. You know
what?
I know there's a person that might agree with you. He's on the apps. He likes mayo.
Yeah, you need to put some chicken in it, I think.
Mayo chicken burrito. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So, I don't know, chat. How'd you feel about this game? You feel good? You feel bad? You feel awake? How many of you fell asleep during this hockey game? But in any case, any final thoughts, boys?
What the fuck are you eating burritos? I just wanna know, like, do you go to like Chipotle and you're just like, where's all the stuff I put in my burrito? And they're like, what are you talking about? And you're like, I don't have any of it.
So the Chipotle by my house actually knows my order by heart. It's a problem.
That's all right.
But, you know. Yeah, he is having a mental breakdown because I put mayo on burritos right now. I've offended all of Mexico by doing this.
Love a good 5 a.m. start in Europe. Wow.
Is that better or worse?
I think it would probably be better you if you have a job that starts in the morning.
Yeah.
Because you can at least get up and, like, while you're getting ready for work, like, have the game on.
Sure.
Whereas if it's at, like, 3 a.m., you're just screwed.
True. Yeah.
No, it's fine. My pizza takes fine.
No, it's not. Throwing away pizza. What kind of monster?
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. You just throw pizza away.
That's right, I do.
Who the fuck are these people I'm gonna pod with? Can I get Jesse back? Wherever he is.
That's what we got to find out, Jesse's bad food take. That's what we haven't figured out
yet. God, it's going to be a doozy. I can already feel it. He's going to be like, actually, cheese is bad. And it won't be like, because he has an allergy to it, he can't eat it.
He'll just be like, I don't like it.
Yeah, he'll just be like, in fact, it's just a bad food group.
I like A1 steak sauce on my burritos.
Yeah, look, Evan should be back this weekend.
So. Evan will be back on the beat officially tomorrow.
Nice.
So he'll be writing again when he's on the pod and stuff.
He'll be on when he's on.
Yeah, we'll see. But Evan, yeah, I don't know what Evan... I can't even imagine where Evan's bad food take will come from. Like, everything from him that makes me laugh so hard, it'll be totally from left field, and I'll be like, where the f-
The delivery, his delivery when he gives it to you, too, you're just like, oh, you're being completely serious right now.
Evan is so funny.
All right. We're going to get out of here.
Yeah, no, you know what? But... Jesse or Evan's bad food take, the one of them will be the eat the banana with the peel still on it.
Oh, my God. Monster. Even apes peel their bananas.
Dude, I dated a girl who was like, oh, yeah, I totally do that. And I was like, show me. And it wasn't like a, you know, like a phallic thing, right? It was like, this sounds horrifying and I have to live through this. It was horrifying. Like most of that relationship, honestly, it was horrifying.
That's where all the vitamins are.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Let me just not make any comments.
Where are we going now?
we're going to the end of the show before we do something we're going to regret. I've already talked about mayo enough. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, hanging out with us on this super late night. We'll be back tomorrow doing the same thing half an hour earlier.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. Who knows how long the game before the Avs goes as they're on national again.
Oh, there's... So. There's a super sticker.
We got one. We got a thing.
Hands doing a fist bump.
Thank you, our moisters, for the $2. Much appreciated. Yeah, we're out of here. We appreciate you. We love y'all. We'll be back tomorrow doing pregame, postgame. You know the drill. Until then, we'll talk to you next time.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.